to everyone creating a product out there. It's really important to have a voice. It's really important to have your branding solidified so you're able to communicate with your users. Otherwise, your product's probably not going to do that well, I would say.
This is a Better Product original series on product brand. I'm Christian.
And I'm Anna.
Before we jump into this episode, I want to pause and invite you to join our upcoming speaker series. It's 5 weeks, 5 speakers with countless product insights starting October 28th. You can register by going to betterproduct.community/speaker-series. So again, that is betterproduct.community/speaker-series. And in case you're wondering, the dash is a hyphen if you want to be official about it. But anyway, if that's too long of a link to remember, just go to our community site to get connected.
What if I told you there was a Tinder for news? Well, there is, kind of. Our two guests, Priyanka Vazirani and Shannon Almeida, are the founders of Volve Media, an app taking the bias out of news using AI and a Tinder-like swiping experience.
We noticed the conflicting narratives between right and left publications. When we started looking at the news more intently, that's when we realized that this is something that we could actually solve. And it's something that AI could be used to solve.
Shannon shares the problem they aim to solve, while noting she wanted to work on something that had social impact.
We both wanted to do the same thing. We had the same vision of like creating some kind of meaningful impact. And so that's how we got started.
Priyanka echoes Shannon's words, and they did just that, starting Volve Media in 2019 as a news app. And brand plays a major role in how it's grown. They were intentional about showing up differently than other news sites and really using brand to differentiate. Now, typically when we talk about brand, it's about capturing the voice. It's how things resonate with the intended audience. It's an experience. Yet Volve is an app for consuming content. So how did Shannon and Priyanka manage to layer brand on top of the app content, separating itself from what the users are consuming? Let's start there with Shannon.
For us, when we started out, it was all about misinformation. We were creating AI to tackle this huge problem. And at that point, that was our only product that we had. But when you scale back and you just look at, you know, your audience, your target market, which are like millennials, Gen Zers, what do they want? So it was all about changing the way we presented the news to everyone. How do we make it more engaging for them? How do we make it more pleasant for them? How do we change the entire experience of consuming news? And that's when we sort of came up with the idea of 9-second news. And that's why for us, branding is so important, because without the brand, there's no one's going to read your news if no one finds it like engaging enough. So if we tackled misinformation and there was no one coming on the app, like there was this huge disconnect. We had to bridge those two. So that's when we realized that we had to bridge that gap. And when we realized that branding is a huge essential part of Volve and not just like an add-on.
I don't want to dive too much into like the news aspect of this since this is a show about product, but I feel like a lot of people might be thinking the same thing as me, which is in the space of news, I think we sort of have seen, especially since 2016, that it's exposed the clickbait, the hooks, the way that people are sort of playing off of like the human being's propensity to believe or get attracted to sensational headlines. So in that, that seems to be the model for engagement. It seems like a lot of news is based off of the more sensational the headline, the more it grabs your attention. And then of course you hear so many people that quote articles and like, oh, I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline. So how are you contrasting with that? What are you doing to sort of engage users in reading the news?
I think first things first, when it comes to like engaging people, we don't really need like clickbait for them to open the article. You're already like, it's everything just sits in a screen. It's like the headline is there, the article is right there. You just keep scrolling, you see everything. The entire article is in one screen. So we don't need to entice you in terms of like, check out the sensational headline, now click on it, and then come on this article and keep reading. I mean, our brains are hardwired in a way that when we see something sensationalized or when we see something like really terrifying, we are prone to click on it because our brain thinks of it as a danger, right? That's the whole point of like why people sensationalize things or make everything sound really scary. But I think there's a lot of things going on in the world anyway. I feel like people need to have that balance of like positive and negative. So one thing we try to do in terms of our content is like we try and balance off like coronavirus news or like the BLM protest with some kind of positive news too. So then when you're on the app, you're not going to be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's just like, okay, fine, that's bad. But then there's something positive happening in the world, you know? And then it's also a balance between like serious and like chill. So you're going to read about like 2020 elections, but you're also going to be reading about like Supreme's latest collabs or like the latest song drop by Beyonce. So it's a mix of different genres to keep you entertained yet informed.
Yeah, and I think the main differentiation between both of them is that most news publications, they depend on a per page click. So they have like individual articles on like Facebook or like Google, and they're trying to get like clicks per article. For us, it's more like you just need to get people on the app. And once they're on the app, like they just keep scrolling. So it works for us better that we don't need to rely on clickbait. We can just rely on good content and easy to read content actually at the end of the day.
So that makes a lot of sense. Now, following that, what is the sort of business model behind Volve? So if the articles are really based on, you know, per click, your app is free. What are you sort of leading towards right now?
So we're going to be doing native advertising. So it's just going to be these really catered to our app kind of ads that are going to be placed after a few stories. So it's going to be a very seamless, enjoyable experience. And it's going to sort of like merge into all the articles. So it's not like, you know, a pop-up or, you know, like there's going to be no subscription. It's just going to be a very easy to read experience. So for us, we don't really care about the click per view, like the sensationalism, because people spend a lot of time on an app actually. So they're scrolling on average at least 20 stories per session, which is a lot. So we place ads every like 5 to 6 stories. And mind you, these are native advertising ads. So it's more like, it's not really like a full page ad. It's going to kind of look like it's part of all. So it's just, it's sort of going to merge in. It's not going to be a standout. It's just a really easy experience for everyone, for the user especially.
Yeah, you can just think of it like Instagram, you know, when you're just scrolling through your feed, you're going through your friends' posts and everything, and then you see a sponsored ad. It doesn't bother you because your experience is just the same. So similarly, when you're reading the news, it's just going to say like sponsored. Obviously, it's going to look very different so you don't confuse ads as the news, but it's not going to bother you or come at you from every side, like the news sites today.
I probably should have asked this in the beginning, but sort of backing up, where do the stories come from? Can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by AI and like where these stories are being sourced from?
So we rely a lot on human curation. We do take our breaking news from a lot of important news wire agencies because that's where breaking news comes from. And then when it comes to trending news, we rely a lot on social media. So a lot of the news breaks on social media today. Twitter is just amazing. So we find out a lot what happens, like trending hashtags, and just kind of dig deeper. So we have like a team that's working constantly, us and like our editors, and we're just like looking for what's happening out there. So apart from just like breaking news, which we use our AI for, because that's kind of the politics, you know, so we use AI primarily for that. But we also use AI for just making sure everything is well balanced. We use Twitter, Reddit, just looking at what's trending all the time. So it is human curated right now as the first step, and we do plan on using AI to curate more for us. We do want it to supplement us as well, but as of now, it's just human curation.
So I want to talk about a little bit of like the attributes of your brand. Your brand feels so breezy and fresh, but it feels so different from a common news brand where there's a more like hard hitting, like breaking, like these really like hard and rough edges and like strong primary colors. And yours is more like pastels and it feels more calm. It sounds like that ties a bit to what you were trying to do with how people are consuming the content. I'm curious, could you talk a little bit about some of those like specific brand decisions, like around color, around shapes, and like how that relates to like the experience you want people have in reading the news? Because reading the news can be very stressful.
So when we started out with Volve, we kind of just took the UIs of all these news apps and we listed them all out. And you could just make up that they use these very, like, as you said, these loud colors, like red and yellow. And the headlines were just like glaring at you. And there were just too many buttons and toggles and just too many options for a user. And it gets very convoluted. Like for a user, you just don't know where to go. You don't know what to read. And so for us, we wanted the exact opposite of that. We wanted to be the antidote of a traditional news app. So we kind of chose all like very subtle, airy, fresh, crisp colors that just made you feel calm And we want Evolve to be evocative of this very, like, you know, calm experience anyway. So that's kind of where it stemmed from. And so when we kind of started designing the entire process, it was just everything had to circle back to that. If anything, then we would design something, and if it went against the core of it being fresh and airy, we sort of scrapped the entire thing. And I just feel like that was the core for us. Whereas we just wanted people to read the news. Reading the news shouldn't be so, like, daunting. It should be more accessible. And I think that's what a lot of news publications don't understand today, is like, you need to make it more easy for your readers to read the news, because no one wants to read the news if it's just, like, so much going on. So I think that's just where we came from when it came down to designing the app, about just making something that was just really simple. And just, like, another thing about giving users less options. I think when you give them too many options, they just don't know what to do. Like, if our Evolve is just, like, based on two screens right now. We have, like, the main screen, which is, like, the story view, and you have, like, the headline view. And we were actually we're launching this new feature, and it kind of required a third screen. And because it just got too complicated, we just scrapped the entire thing. And we were like, okay, we're going to redesign this from an aspect where there's not going to be three screens. There's going to just be two screens. So for us, it's just really important to give the users as little as possible, because they don't want to be, they want to be told what to do. They don't want to, like, decide themselves. They want you to tell them, like, you should be reading this. You should just, like, go here and you'll get everything that you need. So that's kind of the premise of Evolve and how we designed the app.
One thing that we really like is that a lot of people are responding really well to this. A bunch of users have, like, commented back saying this is a surprisingly very, like, calm experience. And that is exactly what, you know, we were gunning for from the start. So that's very positive for us. The other thing is that we've kind of, like, emulated the whole sticky UI situation from, like, Tinder and, like, TikTok. So a lot of people are also comparing it to that. And that's something they're so used to, you know, when they're just, like, swiping through Tinder or, like, scrolling through Instagram. It's just something that they're so used to, like, the generation we are targeting. They're so used to doing this, like, couple of hours of every day. So then when this comes around, it's like, okay, this is different. This is interesting. I can do this.
Do you feel like your brand is more a statement about millennials or a statement against existing, like, positioning against existing, you know, common news sources? Which of those sort of drives what you're trying to create from a brand perspective?
I think it's a bit of both, actually, because from our generation standpoint, like, we are so used to convenience, right? We're first to know and first to, like, share generation. So in that sense, like, when every other news publication is going towards newsletters, it kind of works against the whole model. Like, a newsletter is basically a newspaper that you're reading the next day. We're going backwards in time instead of forward. You know, you're reading memes on the news on Instagram, like, within the hour, but you're telling people that, okay, wait for a couple of hours or wait until the next day and I'll give you five stories. Like, that's not how we work. So that's one problem that we saw, and we're like, okay, we need to make it, like, a continuous stream of information. So I think in that sense, we were trying to go, like, trying to do something that people aren't seeing, and trying to give them, like, almost like a newsletter experience in, like, real time. So it's like news digest in real time. But as for the generation, I feel like, yeah, back to the whole, we don't have time to read, or we just don't care to read that much, you know? So there's also a lot of statistics that show us, like, most people, I think there's only, like, I think, yeah, an average user only reads about, like, 37% of an article. So if you boil that down, it's literally just one or two paragraphs. So we might as well just give them the news in that much space, you know? So it's just looking at what people want and what we as readers do as well. So, like, we've literally thought of it from a consumer standpoint and delve into, like, what do we want and what do our friends do.
As you project out how your brand evolves, do you see it changing to encompass a broader user base, or do you plan on sort of maintaining this sort of millennial focused, very calming positioning against other news sources for a long time?
I definitely think we'd be targeting more different people apart from millennials and Gen Zers. I feel like that's definitely on the book. But I don't think we'd ever stray away from the core of all, which is, you know, just have a very calm experience when reading the news. Because I genuinely think that's what's gotten a lot of non-news readers to start reading the news again. We get a lot of emails today saying, like, oh, I used to never read the news, and now I do because it's just so easy. We get messages from 13-year-olds who are reading Evolve because we've made it so, we've simplified the news for them. So I don't think we're ever going to like, you know, sway away from the whole, like, let's streamline the entire process or like change the branding of it. But I do think we would eventually like start targeting more people, different countries. That's definitely on the books for us.
One more thing that I wanted to add is the fact that we want to include more content going forward as well. So apart from the news, we also want to pull in like guest writers and like, you know, you as a reader would be interested in AI or like fashion or like something else. So it's more about like getting experts to add those kind of pieces as well that we aren't able to add. I mean, it's not going to be user generated exactly because we're going to be curating like literally the experts in the field to give you that piece of information. So it will still be unbiased, but you will get a bigger variety of the kind of content that would be on the app.
So we've talked a bit. I mean, I always will like dig you into the details. Like Christian wants to know your strategies and I'm always like, tell me about your UI. But I have a really specific UI question because you talked about kind of positioning Volve against these other existing news apps. And I noticed that you have no comments anywhere. And I'm curious about, because that can be such a terrible place on the internet. So talk to me a little bit about that as a decision.
I don't think that was a strategic decision that we made creating Volve. We just wanted to declutter the entire experience. That was our goal. But comments is something that we do plan on introducing in the future because community engagement is very important.
So I think a very easy first step instead of bringing comments first is like we've started with polls. So it's just a very simple judge of what people are thinking because like we all have been talking about for a while, like our news is unbiased. But at the end of the day, you do kind of want to get a sense of what other people are thinking. So it's not going to be a messy experience. It's going to be like a very simple poll. Okay, like 70% people think that, 30% people think this. So we try to make it more engaging in that way too. We push out a couple of polls every week, which we think are interesting, but we do plan on pushing out more and then eventually bringing comments in. So it's a more broader perspective in terms of what people are thinking too and why.
So when you think about bringing in comments, I'm curious, have you thought about how it will fit in with like the, obviously people have opinions and you don't want unbiased comments. That sounds boring to read, but have you thought about how maybe you would keep it from like devolving into like, you know, fighting or name calling, or are you hoping that the environment that Volve is creating, like that won't happen, if that makes sense?
That's a really interesting question, actually, because I get where you're coming from. You're coming from like, we've kept this very calm experience, but adding comments would just disrupt the entire experience. So that's very interesting, actually. I don't necessarily think those two go hand in hand, per se. I think the brand is to have a good experience. And only if you want to read comments, you could just click on it and then read all of them. So, but comments, I just think it's like a very, it's necessary. Everyone has opinions in life and it just requires that people are able to share them because then you're being oppressed, right? So I do think it's necessary. I don't think it necessarily goes hand in hand with the brand that just because we have this, you know, calming experience for a news app that we shouldn't have comments per se.
When you think about the app, or you talked a little bit, Priyanka, about the polls that you take. And I've been curious too, how have you thought about judging whether your brand is succeeding or not? You know, like what are the metrics or what are you looking for? And then a follow on, how do you separate sort of maybe a feature or something of the app from, you know, some brand impression or the relationship or the expectation you've set?
I think it's just the feedback that we get. It's initially when we ask people, like, I think I was at a political conference initially at the beginning of the year, and I just went up to a few people who are in the industry, like journalists in the industry, and I just wanted to get their comments on unbiased news. And they just looked at me like I'm crazy. And they're like, what do you mean unbiased news? And at the time, like everybody was really confused. But at the same time, like if you talk to anybody younger, they're all about like, yeah, I don't want you to tell me what I think. I want to, you know, I want to decide for myself. So I feel like getting that positive reaction from our target audience is very positive for us. Like we've done a bunch of surveys the past few months. And we realized that a lot of people are responding really well to unbiased news. And they made sure like unbiased news is something that they are looking for. So while the industry doesn't necessarily like understand it, or like the older generation doesn't like necessarily accept it, I feel like it's the younger generation that's really pushing for it. So then getting that positive feedback is kind of like we're doing something right, you know? So it's definitely something that we see going forward. And obviously like we want to hone in on that niche and make it or prove to the industry that this is possible and this is what is necessary actually.
One free idea I'll give you is integrate with Apple Watch. And then if you can tell that nobody's heart rate increases while using your app, then you know you succeeded. That's a really dumb idea, but as I said, like, you know, that would actually be pretty cool if you could check that, because a lot of us are not able to read the news without raising blood pressure. Well, I want to be conscious of time, and I have one more really serious question. So after a year, what's a key thing that has surprised you so far, and what's one thing that you're sort of looking forward to in 2021? If you can even think that far ahead, like if anybody's even able to imagine a year after this one.
So since this is a podcast about branding, I'm going to talk about branding. So for us, I think the most surprising thing is that a lot of people come up to us and they're like, oh, we love your brand. You know, we love what you guys have done with it. And it's really funny because to Priyanka and me, it's still like a work in progress. It's always like a guessing game for us. We're like, is this really our brand? And it's never set. So I think for us, it's just that even after a year, you're never going to be perfect. It's never going to be completely done. Your brand always evolves. It's always going to be changing, and you just have to adapt to the situation, whatever requires it. So I think that's something for us that we learned the hard way a year on, that it's never going to just be set from the beginning. You just have to keep reiterating, keep figuring out what works for you.
Have you found yourself actually making changes or adjustments to it even in the past year?
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at our Instagram, it like starts off really well and like really like the colors match, etc. Then you see in the middle, it goes like all haywire. And right now we're just like, okay, we got to get a grip on it again, you know? So it's always like, wait, we got to like bring it back to like the core. So yeah, it's hard work and it's a lot of time and effort, but as much as like people say branding is not important, it's also one thing that, you know, a lot of startup founders are just like, we don't have time, we need to concentrate on product. But then again, like the brand is what people see at the end of the day, and that's what connects with them. So then we need to make sure like we're also giving that our time and effort.
Just the final point I would like to add is just that for us, I think the branding aspect, apart from like the colors and like how it looks, for us, 9 Second Reads with the huge branding aspect to leverage Bulb. And we used to get a lot of questions actually asking us, so what's more important, 9 Second Reads or Unbiased News? And I would always go back to them and being like, you know, without the convenience, no one's going to even read our news. So it really goes hand in hand. And so I just think to everyone creating a product out there, it's really important to have a voice. It's really important to have your branding solidified so you're able to communicate with your users. Otherwise, your product's probably not going to do that well, I would say.
So, Volve, where can people find out about Volve and start getting 9 Second Reads?
So, our app is available for free on the App Store and on the Play Store. It's for free. You can download it right now. And if you want to know more about it, you can just go to our website. It's volvemedia.com, volvemedia.com. Or, of course, you can go to our Instagram and follow us.
Yeah, well, and also go to their Instagram to watch their brand evolve. That was one of the more, technically the word is unusual, not unique, because they're not the only news place, but it's unusual for this podcast to have somebody from the news. But I feel like when I say the word unusual, it sounds like negative, but it is against the norm for us to have a news app. But that was a lot of fun. And I think it was great on the topic of brand, because having to establish a brand when your brand is that we're neutral seems like a really big challenge.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's interesting that I think if we were to we have our brand methodology where we build our spectrums and it's like, is it this or this? And then you kind of like put it on the slider. If I were thinking about a brand for a news app, I definitely would not, their app doesn't hit me that it's news. I don't see it in the brand, but I see that is a very conscious decision that they made, because it's almost like, and they didn't say this, so I'm definitely like putting words in their mouth, but it feels like almost it's like they want you to feel differently about this news, and they want it to be a different experience than like going to like whatever your CNN app or something like that, or getting your like breaking news alert. It's just different. And I think that's a really interesting choice. It's one, I think it's a very intentional choice too, to say we are using brand elements. It's like we're turning it on its head, and like we're doing that very intentionally, as opposed to using the attributes that people are really familiar with.
As I reflected even on the visual identity of a lot of the like major news sources in the US, is like heavy primary colors, and you know, they've gone completely away from that. And I know brand is bigger than colors, but I think in this case, a lot of it is really meaningful, especially when we think of left and right media when it comes to politics. It's like red and blue. And so the colors like have some distinct importance in this realm that they may not in others. So I think color being a very important choice too. I still felt like they're almost like they have to like be the Switzerland of news, which is a very successful country, even though they've never been really one that, you know, imperialized anyone or things like that. So it's interesting to see that I think it's possible, but they still have a personality on the site. So even like right at the top of the site, they say no BS. So it's sort of overt, and their story is very personal, how they got started. So it's not as if like being neutral means being bland. It's somehow, I don't know how to quite categorize it. I think they seem to do it really well, where they've created a distinct personality, but in a way that's like, but we're not diving in to tell you how to read these stories. And I think they do that well.
I think one thing that they're not like drugged down in the history of like the news industry, if you will. So like a lot of apps are like built from like old timey typesetting newspapers. Like you can see a lot of that aesthetic in like the New York Times app. And I know like CNN is a little different. It came out of television news though, like the 24-hour news cycle. So it's like they are a news organization that is like not bound by the constraints of like traditional news or like traditional journalism even.
The other thing worth diving into a little bit, because this is a show about product, and but thinking about how they had to brand the news, you know, what can we learn from that when we think about brand for product? And they mentioned that the experience, the design of the product, I think, and the brand are very intrinsically tied together. And they talked about things like the brand is not set. Even in the last year, they've modified their brand a lot. And I think that's true for all products. Need to, you know, imagine that their brand is not something that you just do one time. Now, maybe you don't have to update it if you're in B2B SaaS, you know, as frequently as you do in the consumer space, but you do need to keep updating, and you keep need to refreshing it to keep up with your audience. And then specifically, as the brand evolves, it evolves with your audience. You know, they are very millennial focused now. And then they talked about Gen Z. And then I would imagine at some point, an older audience will start to adopt this, you know, because it's almost like that target audience, that demographic is really just the early adopter mindset, but eventually it'll expand out to others. And so I think with that, their brand will evolve. And I think it's useful to think about that too, when it comes to product, that as you go after different market segments or after you go into different verticals, those things will all have impact on your brand. And so I think those are all like points where you have to reflect and figure out, is your brand, you know, still setting the right expectation, still communicating the way that you want it to when you go to new audiences. Okay. Last thing that I want to hit on is at the end, Shannon had a really good quote that without convenience, nobody will read, when we're talking about how they balance, you know, being unbiased versus, you know, being convenient for the news. What about that stuck in your mind, Anna?
I think what I heard from her in that is that, you know, I think the 9-second news is really important to get people to the unbiased part. So there's almost like a couple of layers that they want people to go through. They want people to feel excited by the brand, intrigued by it. They want it to be like that first kind of touch point. They come in knowing it's only going to be a 9-second read, which is great. But then the content is ideally unbiased, and that's what the person is looking for. So it's almost like that really strong balance between your brand and your product, that your product has to have the features. It has to be oriented and focused in a way that people want to use it, but also your brand has to be very thoughtful and engaging. And it's, I don't know that this, like, there is this like eternal battle between product and brand necessarily, but I think this is another example of where the brand has to be right on and the product has to be like totally right on in almost a different way. So the brand is like, you know, how people want to feel about it, how they feel about themselves with it. And then the product has to functionally do the things that people want to do, but still kind of reflect that brand image. And I think that they talked a lot about how the brand exists inside the UI and how it's calming and how it's simple and how they've thrown out features because they felt it added too much complexity. And so I think it's basically going back to what we believe Better Product is a product where the brand and the like actual functionality of the product are so deeply intertwined. It's a completely seamless experience from start to finish.
Yeah, I think it's really well put. It almost reminds me a little bit of like, you know, saying, I think if you ask everybody, it's like, I want unbiased news, like you probably get most people to say yes, but we definitely don't behave that way. We definitely go seek it out. And they're smart enough to know that that's not enough to just sort of pitch the app. To me, it reminds me of like almost like the organic food movement of maybe like 15, 20 years ago. And then more recently, as we're seeing like plant-based, like meats, like things like that, or electric cars. You look at like Oatly as this really strong non-dairy based milk brand, they've invested big into brand as well because they have to almost establish a relationship that's bigger than, oh, I just don't want dairy. Or you have Tesla that's evolved their brand and their design beyond just, well, I want to drive electric because it's good to the environment. It's almost like when you have a key value or a key mission like that, you still need to wrap it or it, you know, add something to it that has a different perspective. And I think what you said is perfect, that it is that blend of the product experience with the brand.
Thanks for listening to the show this week. If you're looking for more resources on how to design, build, market, and sell better products, then head over to betterproduct.community to join, well, the community. And as always, we're curious, what does Better Product mean to you? Shoot us an email at podcasts@innovatemap.com.